Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Well, it's definitely a thrill and a delight for me to be here this morning. I'd like to say a very big thank you to your wonderful pastors, Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley. They're such a huge blessing to us. Not only are they pastors here, they actually are Continental Director for Africa and Rhema, and such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful leader, set of leaders they are to us, and we appreciate them a great deal. I bring you greetings from my wonderful wife, Akona, and the Rhema Nigeria family. They are thrilled about this church, about this time, and I was just talking with our team way back and telling them of this service, and the excellence that's here is just a blessing. I'm always delighted every time I'm here to just fellowship with such wonderful people. Well, Rhema began in Nigeria in 2010, and our student numbers right now are about 8,000. We have, if you want to count singly, we have 9 campuses all over the nation, and God has indeed been good to us. We continue to train people in all walks of life to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for them, and God has indeed been good to us. Well, this morning, I'd like for us to turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to St. Mark. Mark's Gospel. I'll read a familiar chapter and a couple of verses there. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. If you like to title the message this morning, you might want to title it The God Kind of Faith. The God Kind of Faith. Mark 11, verses 23 and 24. This is Jesus speaking. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you're our Father. Thank you for another opportunity for us to gather together this Sunday morning to praise you, to worship you, to fellowship with you, to fellowship with one another. We approach your word humbly and reverently. We trust that by your Spirit you'll speak to our spirits, and our hearts are purposed, our minds determined, that we won't be hearers of the word alone, but we'll be doers of the same, and as a result, full recipients of all of your blessings. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Well, talking about the God kind of faith, we see in those verses Jesus defining and describing the God kind of faith for us. Something actually happened that led to him speaking those words. If you back off in the same chapter to the 12th verse, the Bible says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. It says, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, came if haply might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, some people have said, if it wasn't the time for figs, what was Jesus doing looking for figs on that tree? Well, this is the deal. In that country, even in the off-season period for figs to bear fruit, some fig trees retained their leaves. And the fig trees that retained their leaves also had fruit. So, when Jesus saw that this particular fig tree had leaves, he expected fruit. But alas, nothing but leaves. So the tree was telling him, I just succeeded in wasting your time. I just succeeded in wasting your time. No food for you this morning. You're going to stay hungry. Well, verse 14 says, and he answered and said unto it. So Jesus spoke to a tree. He answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. The Bible says, and his disciples heard it. So he spoke words, audible words. They heard it, 12 disciples. Well, verse 20 says, and in the morning as they passed by, well, this morning must have been the morning of the next day, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Notice it didn't dry up from the shoot. It dried up from the roots. Now, it looks like he passed, he came from Bethany, went to Jerusalem, went from Jerusalem back to Bethany that same day, and then this was the next day. Now, if there was any change in that tree the first day, it's likely, I trust Peter, he may have told us. And it's also possible that it was dark, and because it was dark when they were going again that evening, maybe they didn't see. It's possible. But they didn't notice any remarkable difference until the next day. They saw the fig tree gathered from the roots. The Bible says, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Then verse 22 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. You see, Jesus could have told them, see, what I just got through doing was a deity trick. You folks can't do that. That's beyond you all. But no, that wasn't what he said. What he said was, you see what I just did? That was faith at work. And you guys can exhibit and exercise that same kind of faith. So he says, he answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now the marginal rendering renders that, have the faith of God, which is the same as saying, have the God kind of faith. So Jesus was saying, guys, that was an exercise of the God kind of faith. If you'll exercise that same kind of faith, you'll get the same kind of results. So in verse 23, he went ahead to define the God kind of faith. For verily, I say unto you. Now, for verily in that language is just the same as somebody in a law court saying, I swear by the Almighty God that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. So that was the equivalent of what Jesus said. For verily, certainly, assuredly, for a fact, I say unto you. Now we know who Jesus is. That's truth personified. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. So when truth now begins to tell you that, listen up, folks, for truly I say unto you. Now that's quite some emphasis. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So this will work for whosoever. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, paraphrasing that in New Testament language, what Jesus was simply saying is this. The God kind of faith is the kind of faith whereby a person believes the thing in his heart and then says with his mouth what he believes in his heart, and as a result, it comes to pass. Notice, he ended that verse, verse 23, by saying, he shall have whatsoever. Starts it by saying, whosoever. So it will work for whosoever, and it will work on whatsoever. So whosoever can have whatsoever. Amen. I'll say that again. Mark 11:23, Jesus' definition of the God kind of faith. And what's it? The kind of faith whereby a person believes a thing in his heart and says with his mouth what he believes in his heart. And as a result, it comes to pass. Now that's bound to be the God kind of faith. That's how God created the world in the beginning. If you read in Genesis chapter 1, you'll see about 10 or 11 times where the Bible says, and God said, let there be so and so. And it was so. He saw it. And God said, and God said, and God said. So everything God created, he created with words. He spoke them into being. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke everything into being. So Mark 11:23, Jesus defined it. You believe a thing in your heart, you say with your mouth what you believe in your heart, and as a result, it comes to pass. Now remember, that's how we got saved, right? Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, the same principle. You believe in your heart, and you say with your mouth. That's how we received eternal life. That's how we became sons and daughters of God. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therfore speak. Now, we know in the matter of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let every word be established. Now, that's three witnesses right there. Mark 11:23, Romans 10:10, 2 Corinthians 4:13. The same principle. You believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart and you speak. That's the principle of faith. Who will it work for? It'll work for whosoever. What will it work for? It'll work on whatsoever. So whosoever can have whatsoever in line with the word of God. Now, four thoughts really I want to share with us about this God kind of faith. Four simple things about the God kind of faith. I just want to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance along. Now, this is a word church. We're taught God's word. So I'm not necessarily saying something we don't already know, but I'm just reminding us of these truths, you know. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, right? So we need to hear these things over and over again. Besides, new people keep coming who need to be grounded in these truths. Praise God. Well, very first point I'd like to say is this, that the God kind of faith is possessed by every believer. The God kind of faith is possessed by every believer. Every believer has it. Now, in that 22nd verse, Jesus said, have faith in God. And like I pointed out, the literal Greek actually says, have the faith of God. Worrell New Testament brings that out. Some other translations bring that out, which is the same as saying, have the God kind of faith. Now, when Jesus told his disciples to have the God kind of faith, he hadn't gone to the cross. As of that time, there was only one person who had the life of God in him on the earth, and that was Jesus himself. So he was telling them, guys, you can exercise this kind of faith, and in actual fact, you need to possess it. Now, do we have faith in God as New Testament believers? 1 Peter 1:21, the Bible says, who by him do believe in God, that our faith and hope might be in God. So yes, we have faith in God. We do, as Christians. But this scripture is saying, have the God kind of faith. And listen to me. If you're born again, you already have it. Jesus told them to have it. They didn't yet have it. They didn't have eternal life just yet. He had eternal life. He exercised it. Amen. Now, can somebody who's not saved exercise faith? Sure. But you see, for the person who's born again, he not only can exercise it, he has it. He has that same kind of faith. Every believer has faith. Every single believer. Why do I say so? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Paul said, I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So notice he said, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, is that every man in the world? No, it's not. Because that verse, notice, Romans 12:3, I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you. Among you who? Among you, the saints in Rome. The people that letter was written to, Romans 1:7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So he was talking to saints, not folks who ain't. And he was telling the saints, listen, God has dealt to every man among you the God kind of faith. Now, Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It takes faith to get saved. Saved people have faith. In actual fact, salvation is the biggest miracle that there is. You can't believe God for anything bigger than the new birth. If you've already believed for the new birth, you can believe for anything else. The same faith that got you saved will get you healed. The same faith that got you saved will get you a good job. The same faith that got you saved will get your needs met. You just need to feed that faith and use it. Amen. So, every believer has faith. Now, for instance, you're in this church auditorium. You're seated right here. Imagine you were to tell me that in your life, you've never passed through a door. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look to see whether there are windows or whether there's someone, you know, did what that guy did who came through the roof. Because I may not know of what has happened before, but at least I know for you to be here,
you had to pass through one of these doors to get in here. So even if you hadn't gone through a door before, you had to go through one to get here this morning. In the same way, it takes faith to get saved. Saved people have faith. Now, how did he get that faith that got you saved? Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the gospel was preached to you. It showed you your state. A sinner in need of a savior. You saw God's provision. Jesus, he died for us. He was raised from the dead. As soon as you heard that word, faith came to your heart for the new birth. And what did you do? You acted on that faith. You confessed Jesus as your Lord. You believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And that very instance, you became a faith child of the faith God. See, you're his child. Because you're his child, you have his DNA. Part of God's DNA is faith. So every person who is born again possesses this God kind of faith. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Bible says, we having. Notice it doesn't say we trying to get. We hoping for, we praying for, we fasting. Peradventure, God could think about the possibility of considering whether or not he peradventure might be in the notion of should in case he might want to. No, we having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. If you're born again, you have the spirit of faith. Now, you may not know you have it. But you have it. Amen. Are you listening to me? The God kind of faith is possessed by every believer. He may not be using it. He may not know he has it, but he does. It took him faith to get saved. So the fact that he's saved means he has faith. Now my second point is this. That the God kind of faith is of the heart and not of the head. The God kind of faith is of the heart. And not of the head. Now, what do I mean by that? Notice in Mark 11:23, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall do what? But shall believe. Now, but shall believe where? In his heart. Shall believe in his heart. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart man believeth. You see, it's with the heart that a man believes. Now, is that talking about that muscle about the size of your fist that pumps blood, you know, around your body? You know, physiologists tell us that the cardiac output is about 5.6 liters per minute. Is that what we're talking about? No, it's not. That word heart, like you talk about, you go to a meeting and then they're talking about different things, and someone says, all right, can we get to the heart of why this meeting was called? Let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's get to the crux of the issue. What do we mean by that? The center, the core, the main thing. Now, Proverbs 3:5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Now, some people practice that verse, but it looks like they practice it in reverse. They try to trust in the Lord with all their understanding, and lean not to their own heart. No, that's not what we're to do. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not to our understanding. I tell you something. There are two kinds of faith. There is a natural human faith. And there is a God kind of faith. See, that natural human faith is a head faith. It believes what it can see. It believes what it can feel. It believes what the physical senses perceive. But you see, the God kind of faith is a heart faith. It believes the word of God regardless of the testimony of the physical senses. Heart faith says this. The Bible says it. I believe it and that settles it. Heart faith says this. What does the word of God say? Regardless of what I see. Regardless of what I feel. Well, if the Bible says it, then I believe it. Now remember, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith has to do with the unseen realm. You know, sometimes you hear folks say stuff like, believing is seen. Who has heard that before other than me? Now, nothing could be further from the truth than that. Believing could never be seen. Why? Because the very word believe implies you don't see. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Remember one man in the Bible by the name Thomas. Now, Thomas was a twin. That's the meaning of Didymus. You read about his story in John 20, from 24 to 29. Now, Jesus had appeared to the 11. Judas had hung himself by that time, killed himself. So, Jesus appeared to the 11. When he did, Thomas was AWOL, away without official leave. We don't know where he went. So, he wasn't there. So, it was the 10 Jesus showed up to. And they saw him. Now, the 10 now tell Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas tells them, "You guys, I don't know what you're talking about. You see, I'm not going to believe that stuff. Except I see with my two eyes. I put my finger into his palms. I thrust my hand into his side. Except my physical senses can perceive it, I'm not going to believe it." Then suddenly Jesus appears and he says to Thomas, "Thomas." I can just imagine Jesus' tone of voice. "Thomas." Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Jesus tells him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." He said, "Blessed are they that have not seen, but yet have believed." Thomas's faith was based on the testimony of his physical senses. That wasn't real faith. That was head faith. Real faith is of the heart. Real faith is of the heart, is of the spirit. Real faith is of the heart, it's not of the head. Now we see another man by the name Abraham. In Romans 4, from verse 17 to 21, the Bible says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform." Now, simply put, this is what happened. God shows up to this 99-year-old man and tells him, "Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations." His head says, "How can that be?" His wife, 90-year-old, when she was younger, she was barren. Now menopause has come. Old age has come. Also, he had ceased to be with Abraham after the manner of men. When he was 86, he could still father a child. But now by 99, his body was dead. The engine had knocked. And God shows up and says, "I've made you a father of many nations." What did Abraham do? He said, "Well, if God says it, then I believe it. My common sense may say otherwise. My senses may say otherwise. But I believe what God says." You see, that is heart faith. It believes the word of God regardless of the testimony of the physical senses. Now, let me tell you something. Faith will actually work in the heart, even with doubt in the head. The fact that you have a doubt thought or you have a fear thought doesn't mean you are doubting. You see, thoughts may come and they may even persist. But thoughts that are not expressed in words or in actions die unborn. The most holy saints of God, the most holy saints of God have sometimes found thoughts in their minds that their hearts resented. You can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can refuse to allow one to build a nest in your hair. You can't determine who knocks at your door, but you can decide who you allow to come in. See, the fact that you have a thought doesn't mean a fear thought, a doubt thought, doesn't mean you're doubting. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. He said, "Take no thought for your life, saying." The way you take a thought is by saying it. If you haven't said it, you haven't taken it. Are you listening? So, the God kind of faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. It's not of the head. Question is this. How does our heart get faith that our intellect cannot obtain? It's simple, through the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you don't have God's word for it, you don't have any basis. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. For you to be able to believe it in your heart, you need to have the word. Because the word of God is the basis of faith. Many times I meet people, they tell me they are believing God for stuff. And I say, great. Then I ask them, what scripture are you standing on? And then their next question or their answer is, well, not any in particular. And you know what I tell them? That's exactly what you're going to get. Not anything in particular. You know why? There's no basis. There's no basis. Find scripture that covers your case. If you don't have God's word for it, you're in no man's land. Find scripture that covers your case. Then take the time to think on those scriptures, to meditate on those scriptures, to mutter those scriptures to yourself, to build them into your inner man. Now I tell people, in a matter of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Usually when I'm believing for something, I usually like to have one main scripture that I'm standing on. Then I endeavor to see that that scripture has one or two other anchors. So I have two or three witnesses. And sometimes, even the entire counsel of God's word on that issue, I find scriptures for it. Are you listening to me? Remember, we're talking about the second point. The God kind of faith is of the heart and not of the head. Head faith believes what it can see, regardless of what the word of God says. Heart faith believes the word of God, regardless of what the physical senses tell us. And how do we get this heart faith? Through the word of God. Through the word of God. If you don't have God's word for it, you are not in faith. And I'll say this. If you really believe, you will act. If you really believe, you will act. If you really believe, you will act. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now that word unbelief, some other translations render it disobedience. Now there's one unbelief that's due to a lack of knowledge. There's another unbelief that's based on a refusal to act on the word. An unpersuadableness to act on the word. Faith without corresponding action is dead. I like to also say this, that action without corresponding faith is double dead. Now some people just imitate somebody else's action. Sometimes they do foolish stuff. Sometimes it's just presumption. You know, sometimes some people think faith is about throwing their drugs away. No, not necessarily. That may just be stupidity. Drugs won't heal you. They won't keep you from getting healed. But many times, the drugs can keep the symptoms down while your faith is taking hold of your healing. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So, first thing we said is, the God kind of faith is possessed by every believer. The second thing, the God kind of faith is of the heart and not of the head. Well, the third thing I'd like to say is this, that the God kind of faith must be released with words through the mouth. The God kind of faith must be released with words through the mouth. You can have what you say. Now you notice in that 23rd verse, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, so we see say there one time, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. So we see believe there one time. In some form. Believe that those things which he saith, say in some form two times, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So the saying is mentioned three times relative to the whosoever. The believing is mentioned only once. Listen, you see, we are God's children. We have been taught to have faith. We have been taught to believe. Where we miss it primarily is not the believing part. Now, sometimes some of us miss it on the believing part. All of us have missed it one time or the other on the believing part. But primarily, that's usually not where believers miss it. Where we miss it when it comes to faith, usually is not the believing part. Where we missed it most of the time is in the saying part. And that's why Jesus emphasized the saying three times as much as he did the believing. You see, faith must be released with words through the mouth. If you stay silent, you lose by default. There's no such thing as a silent faith. It's a dead faith. Faith without corresponding action is dead. And the primary action of faith is that it speaks. It speaks. Listen, our words dominate us. Our words dominate us. Our words dominate us. Our words dominate us. They rule us. All you are today and all you have today is the result of what you believed and said yesterday. If you are not satisfied with where you are at in life right now, check up on what you are saying. See, Mark 11:23, that's a proof text that he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's the last clause of that verse. Now, another wonderful story that shows this truth. In Mark 5:25-34, the Bible says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said, thou seest the multitude thronging there, and says, thou touched me. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now notice that verse 34. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. But notice in verse 28 that the Bible says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. See, what she said was her faith speaking. What you say is your faith speaking. See, your confession locates you. Your confession fixes the landmarks of your life. And your confession affects your spirit. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You see, our words dominate us. Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared by thy words. Thou art taken captive by the words of your mouth. E.W. Kenyon put it like this. He said, you said you could not do it. The moment you said it, doubt rose up like a giant and bound you. You talk failure and failure held you in bondage. Said you did not have faith. Doubt rose up like a giant, imprisoned you. We are imprisoned by our words. We're imprisoned by our words. Let me tell you something. You know you can school yourself into faith. Even if you don't believe something, if you say it long enough, those words will register on your spirit and they will dominate your life. Another wonderful proof text that shows that you can have what you say is in a story we know from the Old Testament. Story of the children of Israel. In Numbers chapters 13 and 14, you can read both chapters later on. You see, God had told Israel that Canaan's land was theirs. He told them, guys, go in and possess it. Everywhere the soles of your feet will tread upon, it's yours. Deuteronomy 11:24. So it was theirs, by promise. They got to the border, Kadesh Barnea. And at the Lord's leading, Moses chose one person from each of the 12 tribes. Now, Levi didn't have any land. They waited with the worship of God. So the tribe of Joseph, they had a double portion, Ephraim and Manasseh. So 12 tribes, they went out to spout the land. Then they came back after 40 days. And what did they say? The Bible says that they brought back the pomegranates, the grapes, the fruit of the land. And they said, surely the land flows with milk and honey, just like God said. But, you feel like kicking them in the butt. But, there are giants in the land. We are not able to take the land. They are stronger than we are. We are as grasshoppers in their sight. That's what 10 out of the 12 said. But there was one fellow among them, Caleb, in Numbers 13:30. Caleb said, let us go up at once. He steeled the people. Before Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome them. Joshua, in Numbers 14:9. He said, only rebel ye not against the Lord, nor fear ye the people. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, were there giants in the land? They were. Did they look like grasshoppers in their own sight? They did. Did they probably look like grasshoppers in the sight of those folks? Most probably they did. But that did not change what God said. God factored all that in before he said the land was theirs. But what did they say? They said, we can't take it. And then the nation of Israel accepted the majority report. You know, the majority report is not necessarily always right. They accepted the majority report. And what did they say? Numbers 14:2. They said, would God we had perished in the wilderness. Would God we had died in Egypt. That's what they said. Now, what did God then say? Numbers 14:28. Before God spoke, he swore. My God, for God to swear, then you know this is serious. God said, as truly as I live, as they have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto them. See, you know what some folks are saying? Oh, the economy in Zambia is bad. There's no money. Business is slow. Nothing is working. We can't make progress here. Everything is just bad. This is a bad year for us. Yeah, keep saying it. Keep saying it. That's exactly what you're going to get. That's exactly what you're going to get. Listen up. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the economy, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Bible says, young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall want no good thing. The Bible says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield, he'll give grace and glory. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Bible says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. The Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you having always all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. You see, if you talk about the lack of finances, it will stop the money from coming in. If you talk sickness, it will develop sickness in your system. If you keep talking about the problem will get bigger. Listen up. We are men of faith. We are able to take the land. Yeah, there may be giants in the land, but what of it? Yes, there may be problems in our lives, but what of it? We don't live in denial. We're not going to bury our heads in the sand like ostriches and act like the problems don't exist. They do exist. We don't deny that they exist. We don't deny that the mountain exists. Jesus did not say, whosoever shall say, there's no mountain. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Before you can remove a mountain, you need to realize there is a mountain. But then, I'm not denying that the mountain exists. I'm denying the mountain the right to keep existing in my life, because I move it. And how do we move it? With words. With words. With words. With words. Words filled with faith. You wake up in the morning, you say, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. The life of God is in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No matter the test, no matter the trial, no matter the challenge, there aren't enough devils in hell to face the God that lives in me. There ain't enough problems on the earth to face the God that lives in me. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can ever be is on the inside of me. I'm fortified from within. I'm more than a conqueror. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by me in every place. You know, when you speak those kind of words, my God, your spirit is charged with success. You go out in life's fight and win. Stop speaking those words of defeat. Stop speaking those words of failure. Stop talking about the circumstances. Stop talking about the problem. Those words glorify the devil. Yeah, we all know the statistics of how many rapes happen, of how many jobless people, of how the inflation is bad. That's not news. Tell me something else. Tell me what the Word of God says. Tell me what you believe about yourself. Tell me the same thing. Say the same thing about you that God says about you. That's when things start changing. So don't forget, we're talking about the God kind of faith. We said it's the kind of faith whereby a person believes a thing in his heart, says with his mouth what he believes in his heart, and it comes to pass. Then we said, number one, the God kind of faith is possessed by every believer. If you're born again, you have it. Secondly, we said, the God kind of faith is of the heart and not of the head. Then thirdly, we said this, that the God kind of faith must be released with words through the mouth. Yeah, I know it's the everlasting gospel, but I don't have to preach it in an everlasting way, right? You know that if we don't go, you know we can't come back, isn't it? Yeah. Lastly, as I start fixing to quit, The God kind of faith is hindered by unforgiveness. The God kind of faith is hindered by unforgiveness. You know, after Jesus gave Mark 11:23, went on in Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now, not every prayer is a prayer of faith, right? But every prayer should be prayed in faith. One kind of prayer is a prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is a prayer that changes things. The prayer of faith is a prayer you pray concerning the desires of your heart. And Jesus said, when you pray, not after you pray, when you pray, that moment you have to do something. What are you to do? Believe that you receive. Not believe that you will receive. Believe that you receive. Believe that you receive the moment you pray. And then what's going to happen? And ye shall have them. When are you going to have it? After you believe you receive it. When do you believe you receive it? Before you have it. You've got to believe you've got it when you don't yet have it, and then you'll get it. You've got to believe you're healed when all the symptoms are still on your body, and then you'll be healed. You've got to believe the need is met when the bank account is bare, the pocketbook is bare, the wallet is empty, the purse is empty, then the need will be met. So you believe that you receive when you pray. Now, remember, faith must be released with words through the mouth, right? Faith works by saying it or by praying it, but when you pray it, you still have to say it. So, in prayer, you begin to say out of your heart, I believe that I receive such and such. I believe I receive it now. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So, after you pray, what do you do? What do you say? You maintain your confession. I prayed 5 minutes ago, 5 hours ago, or yesterday, or last week. I prayed about such and such. I believe that I receive it. Father, I'm thanking you because I have it. So, you maintain your confession. I believe that I receive. 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 And even if you don't believe it, if you say that long enough, it'll register in your spirit. You can school yourself into faith. But that's not even where I'm going. Verse 25 said, and. Remember they taught us in English language about parts of speech, right? The noun, the verb, the adjective, the adverb, the interjection, the preposition. Then there was this one they called the conjunction. That links one thing with another. And. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. What was Jesus saying? Unforgiveness is going to hinder your faith. Unforgiveness is going to hinder your prayers. You don't want to mess with it. I noticed that there are three areas people have unforgiveness. There are some people that have unforgiveness towards God. They are mad with God. Why did my uncle die? Why did I not get the job? Listen, God did not hurt you. God is a good God. If something ever went wrong, it wasn't God's fault. God did the very best he could to help. So how to fix that is just light, revelation knowledge. God didn't hurt you. Now some other people, their unforgiveness is towards someone else. This person did this to me. That person did that to me. Who is it who's living on this earth that somebody hasn't hurt? I haven't seen such a one yet. We've all been hurt. Yeah. But you know what? Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. See, according to Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. Faith works by love. So let it go. You can forgive. You can forgive. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. So listen up. We can forgive. You're a forgiver. You can forgive. There are some others. The person they need to forgive is themselves. You made a mistake. Now you refuse to get over it. How could I have done that? How could a whole me have done that? Listen up. A whole you did it. Get over it. Stop being arrogant. Yes, you messed up. But have you asked God to forgive you? If you've asked him to forgive you, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've asked him to forgive you sincerely from your heart, he has forgiven you. He doesn't remember that it ever happened. Stop condemning yourself over stuff God does not remember. Listen up. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You stand in the presence of God as though sin never did exist. Stop telling everybody about your mistake. Stop it. Stop it. Just shut up. Confess who you are. The righteousness of God. The Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Says it's Christ that justifies. Who is he that condemned? It's Christ that died, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God. You are the righteousness 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 of God. But what about what people say? That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. What does God say? What do you say? So, if you need to forgive yourself, forgive yourself. You need to forgive somebody else, forgive them. Once you do that, then your faith starts working again. With every head bowed and eye closed, Father, thank you for reminding us this morning about the God kind of faith. Thank you because we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thank you for victory that belongs to us.